tonight as we look at the name El Olam. El Olam, which means, of course, the everlasting God. Start in verse number 22 of Genesis chapter 21. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, that thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servant had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who had done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. El Olam. It's one of what we might call a secretive name of God, speaking of his mysterious nature and ways, and yet his awesome power and amazing, amazing nature. We looked at a couple things last week. We looked at the subject on why we keep secrets, and we mentioned a couple reasons, not going to go through all of them tonight, but just to give us all back up onto the same page as we still continue through this introduction here this evening. We said we might do so out of love, out of protection and kindness. There's, of course, a host of other reasons that one may keep a secret, and there are, of course, some bad reasons why one may keep a secret as well. And as we noticed, that God also keeps secrets as well. We saw that, though, as he keeps secrets, he never does so to harm us, nor does he do it out of selfishness. And God is truly a God that has our best interest in mind, and truly he keeps things from us because he knows that sometimes we just simply cannot fully understand. Only God can fully understand. And I'm thankful tonight that we have a God that is truly one that we can learn more and more and more about. One of the wonderful things about marriage and relationships in general is the mystique that comes with relationship. There's always something that seems to learn more about that individual, that spouse, that friend, as it were. And that mystique helps build a wonderful relationship. Well, God shows a mystique as well. And God, for all of eternity, we're going to learn and trust and see more and more truths from our wonderful God. And as we looked at that name, El Olam, that secretive name, we saw that El comes from, of course, God's name, Elohim, which means, of course, strong creator. And then we looked at that word, El Olam, which means time or age. And we put them together and we see that if we were to translate it word for word, as it were, be the creator God of time or age. In essence, our God, everlasting or timeless nature, one that is without beginning or end. And truly, this is one of the most profound mysteries of all nature. And we look and we saw and we explored that just for a few moments last week. I want us to look at quickly just a couple of things here tonight as we think and we continue an introduction here this evening. We're in Genesis. Turn over to Psalms, please. Psalms 90. Look at verse number 1. As we think about God's timeless or his everlasting nature, truly there's more to explore, more to learn, but there's also so much comfort that we can find yea, from our God who is everlasting. We can find strength and encouragement. Truly, we can find protection and help, yea, in this very name. In Psalms 90, look at verse number 1. Notice what the Bible teaches us. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We see here in these everlasting words, in these generation dwelling place in all generations of verse number 1, and then from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God uses some interchangeable Hebrew words here. He uses that name, or that word Olam, speaking of the everlasting God that we saw in Genesis chapter 21, but he also uses another Hebrew word, Alam. The only difference there is instead of the O in front of L-A-M, there is an A, Alam. And this name, Alam, simply means age or dispensation. It is a secret or a hidden thing. This has become synonymous with another Hebrew word, with another Greek word, aion. And this word aion also means age or dispensation. It speaks of that secretive, hidden, and yet timeless nature of God. Look at Psalms chapter 10. Psalms 10, look at verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? We see that word alam first in Psalms 90, but here we see it again in Psalms chapter 10. When we look at Psalms 10, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? We see those two words, olam and alam, yea, merged together here in that last phrase there of verse number 1. Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Speaking again of God's mysterious and his hiddenness, as it were, to his everlasting nature. God is truly a wonderful God, a God and truly in which we can trust. And when we feel sometimes estranged, feel estranged and feel like, yay, God is not there, we can trust that God truly is there. In Psalms 10, the psalmist writes, why hidest thou afar off, O Lord? He said, I know you're here. You're the everlasting God. You truly are here. I understand who you are, but it seems like you're hiding yourself right now. It seems like you're being secretive right now. God, I need some answers from you. Please intervene. And as we see later in that beautiful psalm, the psalmist comes again and says, I'm going to trust you. I want to trust in who you are. I know you are my God. And I'm thankful tonight that even at times in which it can seem like God is hiding, as it were, or being secretive at times in our life, when it seems like the heaven, as the psalmist says, are as sounding brass, it seems like our prayers aren't getting through, we can know that God is there. God is listening. God is always, always there. And we're thankful for who he is tonight. In Genesis chapter 21, we see Abraham. Abraham had dug a well. Abraham dug a well in a place which would become known as Beersheba. This was a strategically placed well that it was before entering the desolate area of the Sinai Peninsula. This would be kind of that last stop, so to speak, before entering a desert area. My wife and I traveled from the Midwest of the States all the way to the West Coast. It took us almost 30 hours to drive that. And there were a couple of times as we were driving through some barren areas that there was a sign that said the last petrol for 150 miles, 200 miles. And if you did not fill up before or top up your tank before you got to that, you better make sure that you could go at least 150, 200 miles because the sign was accurate. There was no more petrol. You were going to run out in the middle of barren land if you did not top off your tank or have 150 miles at least left in your tank. And so we had to be very careful about that and want to make sure that we had, yea, the reserves for that. Well, this is what this well was. This was a place, the last stop, as it were. Before you get into barrenness, this would be a place where they could rest, where they could have a little oasis, as it were, before entering the barrenness ahead. And yea, they could water their flocks, their herds, their animals that were with them, and of course top off, yea, their water supplies, as it were, before traveling. So it was a very strategic place in which, yea, this well was given. It was a good area. It was a wise location to dig a well. Abimelech's servants had violently taken away this well. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what transpired, besides it was violently taken away. Apparently there was a skirmish there. There was some violence that happened there. And of course, Abimelech's servants did so, apparently unknowingly, to Abimelech. And the Bible tells us that Abimelech, the chief captain of the Philistines, had come to Abraham to get some issues sorted, to get some issues settled. There was some strife, there was some concerns, and that concerns between the chief captain of the Philistines and Abraham was affecting, yea, their servants, affecting, yea, their business, as it were. And so they came to discuss and to get these matters settled. And Abimelech and Abraham here made an agreement. They decided to settle this matter. The Bible tells us that they performed a sacrifice there. Abraham gave Abimelech 7 ewe lambs to be a testimony of the agreement, that this would be something that Abimelech could go away with as a constant reminder as he looked upon the flocks and saw those lambs grow, of a reminder of the covenant that he made with Abraham at Beersheba. And upon this oath and upon this agreement, Abraham called this well that now was back in his possession Beersheba. That word Beersheba simply means the well of the oath. The well of the oath. It was a testament, it was a testimony of what had transpired there and of the oath that was taken between the chief captain of the Philistines and Abraham, of course, the father of Israel. And at this time, at this place, at this location, at this well, we see the name of God, El Olam, revealed. You see, Abraham knew God. He knew the everlasting God. He saw the oath that he knew that God saw the oath that was made that day between Abimelech and Abraham. And God, and Abraham determined that God would watch over this oath and, yea, keep this well even through future generations. You see, Abraham was making a statement of faith when he named this well, as, yea, he reminded himself or was revealed to him that everlasting nature of God. He was saying, God, this is an oath in which, yea, we as two men have come to agreement upon. We have made a covenant, an oath together. We in our lifetimes have determined to remember this covenant. But God, I want this well to not simply go to just myself, but I want it to go to future generations. I want my children one day, as they come into the promised land and as they enjoy the promised land, to enjoy this well of Beersheba. I want it to be something that is kept from generation to generation to generation. And I'm going to call upon you, the everlasting God, who can keep this covenant, who can keep this oath past what I can when I breathe my last breath. You see, Abraham was only finite in nature. Abraham could not keep this oath past his last breath, but he was calling upon the everlasting nature of God to keep that oath, to keep that covenant past what Abraham could. You see, Abraham had faith in God, that God was going to be faithful to him and was going to perform his word. At this time, Abraham had a son, Isaac. God told him that you're going to have children as the sand of the seashores, the stars of heaven. He had not seen that. And yet he made an oath and called upon the everlasting God, knowing that God was by faith going to answer the promise in which he had given Abraham. It's a lot of faith. To look and say, I know that even though as I hold my son Isaac, I enjoy him, that somehow, God, you're going to preserve my family for all generations. And God's been true to that. We think of societies over the years that have come, have risen, and have fallen, and have disappeared. There are societies today that did not last more than just a few hundred years. There are some societies today that have lasted longer, but none have lasted like the children of Israel. God has preserved from generation to generation to generation. The everlasting God has been faithful to the promises that he has made of God. I like this quote, and I have it here for you tonight. When Abraham dug a well and possessed Beersheba, it was an act of faith in God's eternal promise. And calling Jehovah, El Olam, the everlasting God, Abraham was expressing faith in God, in the God of the everlasting covenant. There is mystery and hiddenness here too. It is a mystery that Abraham had faith enough to see the well of Beersheba as a down payment on the future kingdom. What an amazing God we have that truly would truly, that answers and is everlasting in nature. Abraham exercised much faith. Abraham was a man of faith. And truly we can see that often as we look at God's revealed nature to Abraham and how Abraham by faith acted upon, yea, the very name that God had given him. But of all these places that God could reveal to Abraham his name or El Olam, or the everlasting God, why Beersheba? Why of all places would God reveal that name to him at that location? Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. I think it speaks to the character of God as well. Look at Psalms chapter 25, please. Psalms 25. I want you to see a few verses here in Psalms this evening. You see, I believe first and foremost, the reason for Beersheba was it was because it was a place of availability. It was a place of availability. God's name, truly the everlasting God, I believe was revealed here to show to Abraham and to once again remind Abraham that God is eternally available. He's omniscient. Means he knows all. God knows everything. Man doesn't know everything. God does. God is all-knowing. The Bible tells us, teaches us that he is omnipresent. What does that mean? That means he's all-present. Means he is everywhere. Well, what a thought. I can be at one place at one time, and yet our all-knowing and all-present God knows all that happens everywhere. The furthest reaches of the stars, God is there. The smallest little thing that happens here on this earth or happens in us, God knows about. Nothing happens without his knowledge. What an amazing God. And he understands it all. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of it too often, I'll be in a conversation and a thought as I see someone, maybe out of the corner of my eye comes by, I say, oh, I need to talk to him about this. And I'm trying to concentrate on the one conversation, my mind is racing, think of the things in which I need to talk to that person about. And I have a hard time sometimes just seeing the surroundings in which I have. And yet God takes it all in and understands it to its fullness. What an amazing God we have. But not only is He all-knowing, and not is He all-present, but He is also omnipotent. Means He's all-powerful. Means there's nothing that He cannot do. I'm thankful tonight that we have an all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful God. And the Bible tells us and teaches us of the wonderful God in which we have. The psalmist reminds us here in Psalm 25, 6, remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. There's that word, olam, again. Psalmist is encouraging himself. I remember, God, I know You see. God, I know Your mercies are everlasting. I can trust in Your mercies for me. Just like You are merciful to Abraham, You're merciful to me. Just like Your loving kindness helped Adam in the Garden of Eden, Your loving kindness can help me. Why? Because You are ever of old. You are beyond age. You are beyond time. You can help me just like You helped the saints of old. And hallelujah, that's still in effect today. I'm thankful that God never changes in this way. And those wonderful, tender mercies that the psalmist wrote about in Psalm 25, as David implored and cried out to the Lord in song, we can trust in those same tender mercies. We can trust in that same loving kindness. Why? Because our God is everlasting. His tender mercies and loving kindness last from age to age to age. God is beyond age. He is beyond time. God is limitless. And I'm thankful tonight that those same wonderful mercies are available to us like they were available to Abraham. Look at Psalms 100. In Psalms 100, we see the psalmist once again reassuring theirself of the wonderful, everlasting nature of God. I'm trying to tell you tonight that our God is available this evening. Our everlasting God is available tonight, just like He was available with Abraham at Beersheba. Our God is available tonight. What do you need from Him? He's available this evening. Beersheba was available. It was the place that was there, and our wonderful God is available to us tonight. In Psalms chapter 100, verse number 5, the Bible says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. There we see that everlasting olam nature of our wonderful God. It is everlasting. His mercy is available to you tonight. You need the mercy of God. It's available to you this evening. You need His truth. It's available to you tonight. Thank God for it. Look at Psalm 103, just a few psalms back from where we are. Look at verse number 1. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. He is everlasting. He is available to us tonight. We don't have to wonder if our God is available to us this evening. He is available. He is present. He is mercies, His loving kindness, His grace, His favor is available to us tonight. Our everlasting God is always available. He's always there. He's always at the ready. And I'm thankful that our God is available this evening. Beersheba was available. God is available. Beersheba is only one place. God is everywhere. No matter where you go, no matter where you travel to, God is there. No matter where life brings us, we know this present time, God has brought us together. But who knows what God holds in the future? If God brings us to the farthest reaches of the Congo, He's there with us. If God leads us to bring salvation to a moon colony one day, He'll be there. He's everywhere. we cannot go past where God is, because God is everywhere. He's available. What a wonderful, sweet assurance that brings us. I'm thankful tonight that God is available to us. What do you need from Him this evening? What is it that your heart is craving from God tonight? He's available. His tender mercies, His loving kindness is available to us this evening. Trust Him. Thank Him for His available, for His available nature, His everlasting kindness. He is wonderful. And we'll pick up there next week.